Last week on the Let the Bible Speak program, I answered the question, does it make any difference what I believe as long as I'm sincere? It's a very popular question, especially in the religious world. And many people would answer, no, it doesn't make any difference. What we believe and what we practice in the name of religion, as long as we are sincere. And we answered that question last week, and we noticed that that's not biblical. It indeed makes a difference what we believe. And yes, sincerity is something that God wants. There are many passages that teach that we are to have a sincere heart. But sincerity alone is not the standard or the judge for determining whether or not we're right with God. There are many sincere people, but they are sincerely wrong in their relationship with God. And so what is important is not sincerity, but the Word of God. Am I doing what God's Word says, or am I not doing that? That determines whether or not I'm right or wrong. And last week, we noticed four different statements that people make. They'll say, it doesn't make any difference what you believe as long as you are sincere. And we found that to be false. It doesn't make any difference how you worship as long as you are sincere. We found that to be false. It doesn't make any difference if you go to church or not, so long as you're good. We found that to be false. And it doesn't make any difference what church you attend, so as long as you go. And we found that to be false. So it's a very prominent and prevalent idea, and we have to address it with the Word of God. This morning, as I continue to study these matters with you, if you are in a place where you can open your Bible, we'd love to study together, let the Bible speak on these matters. We want to wrap up our thoughts on this morning by doing two things. We want to look at several categories in our life, several areas of our life where it makes a difference, and we need to be choosing the right thing. And then I want to close this morning by hypothetically asking Bible characters if it makes a difference. There's some people in the Bible, if we could call them back from the dead and talk with them, we would ask them, does it make any difference? And they would give us an answer, and we'll see what that is. So let's look this morning at this matter again. Does it make any difference? Well, let's begin this morning. Does it make any difference what God we choose? You know, a lot of people say it doesn't really matter as long as you pick some God. And in some religions like Hinduism and Buddhism, there are thousands of gods. But the Apostle Paul says that there is one Lord and God in 1 Corinthians 8, and also in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to be well pleasing unto him, for he that cometh to God, not gods, but the God revealed to us in Scripture, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. Must. We're going to be looking at some words that are used to show that it's just one, and it makes a difference if we choose that one or not. So look at the word must. We must believe that he is. So it makes a difference. Does it make a difference what Savior we choose? There are a lot of people who don't believe that they need to be saved from anything, but those who do believe that they need to be saved from sin, they'll say, well, you know, there's all different kinds of saviors, but no, there's just one, and it makes a difference if we choose Jesus or not. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, singular, the way, and the truth, singular, and the life, singular. No one comes unto the Father but by me. That's an exclusive claim, and so it makes a difference. Somebody says, well, Jesus is not my Savior. I'm a Muslim, and Muhammad told me that I cannot be saved through Jesus Christ. He was just a Jewish teacher. And Islam teaches that he didn't even die on the cross for our sins. And it makes a difference. And there are many, many people in the religion of Islam. And there's other religions that have other saviors. But Jesus said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father but by me. He's either lying or he's telling the truth. And if he's telling the truth, then it makes a difference. What savior I pick, no one comes to the Father but by me. It makes a difference. Does it make any difference what we do to be saved? Yes, it does. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 5, verily I say unto you, except one be born of water, that's baptism, and the Spirit, obeying the words of the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So I want you to underscore in your mind and in your Bible, if you're taking notes, these words. So in Hebrews 11:6, must. In John 14:6, no one. And here, cannot enter the kingdom of God. These are words showing exclusivity, an exclusive way, a one and singular way. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. That's very, very important. It makes a difference. So, will you be born again? It makes a difference. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, except you believe that I am, talking about Jesus saying that he is deity, except you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Look at the word except. Except. That's if and only if you do that. That's what that word means. If and only if you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. Look at that promise. It's not a suggestion. It is a promise that will be fulfilled. We have to believe in Jesus. And Luke 13:5, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So I have to be baptized. I have to believe. I have to repent. Paul will later add in Romans 10:9-10, I have to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I have to do these things. It makes a difference whether I do them or not. Look at the word except. Look at the word cannot, you see. And so it is very important. Does it make a difference what law we are under? Well, even before we look at God's law for us, just think about that with regard to just our common, ordinary life. It makes a difference whether or not you're under American law or Chinese law or Russian law or French law or British law or Spanish law in Spain. It makes a difference. Man has different kinds of laws. Somebody says, well, it doesn't make any difference what law you live under. Yes, it does. You don't want to be living in one country and then be under laws of another country. And so, just in our common, ordinary life, it makes a difference. And it certainly makes a difference with regard to God's revelation. God has had different laws all the way down through time, starting with Adam and Eve and then down to the time of Christ. And everywhere in between, he's had different laws and different dispensations in which he has given that law and different revelations. And a lot of people just open up their Bible and say, well, whatever is in the Old Testament, I can do that today, especially on topics like instrumental music. But the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9, he takes away the first, talking about the old law, the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, he takes away the first that he may establish the second. We can't go back and be under a law that he's taken away. Ephesians 2 and Colossians 2, that old law was nailed to the cross. We're under the law of Christ today. It makes a difference what law we're under. We don't need to be under a law that no longer is existing. Who would want to do that? And so that new law and that new covenant is talked about later in chapter 10. It was talked about earlier in Hebrews chapter 8. That's the law that we're under. So it makes a difference. We're under the law of Christ today. We can't go back to the old law. Some people want to go back to Deuteronomy 24 and use the old law with regard to marriage, divorce, and remarriage. That was a law for the Jews. We're not under that law. We're under the law of Christ, and he states what that marriage law is in Matthew 19 and verse 9 and other places. It makes a difference what law we're under. It affects marriage, divorce, and remarriage. It affects our worship. It affects the plan of salvation. We're not under a law that prescribes animal sacrifices. It makes a difference. Does it make a difference what we preach? Yes, it does. And Paul recognized that in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, when people came along there at Corinth and they were in Corinth, we could use that example, 2 Corinthians 11:4, they were preaching another Jesus in Corinth. But here in Galatia, some were coming along after Paul had left Galatia, and they were preaching another gospel. If any man preaches unto you any gospel other than that which you received, let him be anathema or accursed. Yeah, it makes a big difference. And as a gospel preacher myself, I have to be very wary of that and very concerned about that and very careful with that. I cannot just go around preaching any old gospel I want. Gospel of health and wealth, a social gospel, a gospel of politics, a gospel of feel-goodism, a gospel of human wisdom, a gospel of Eastern religions, a New Age gospel. I've got to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is contained on the pages of the New Testament, period. I cannot go outside of that and preach something else. If I do, I'm accursed in the sight of God, and that's a serious thing. It makes a difference. Does it make a difference how we worship? Well, of course it does. I mentioned John 4:24 last week. Jesus said, and again, just underscore these little words. Sometimes these little words are getting overlooked today. Except, cannot, must. In John chapter 4, in verse 23, Jesus speaking to a Samaritan woman who was in a religion that was not authorized. She was worshiping on Mount Gerizim. That was not the authorized worship of God. At this time, it was in the temple in Jerusalem. So she was in an unauthorized worship and religion. And Jesus even says that the time is coming where even in Jerusalem would not be the place to worship. Even the Judaism would step aside and give way to Christianity. So, John 4:23, the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for such doth the Father seek to be his worshipers. God is a spirit, and they that worship him, underscore this in your Bible, must worship in spirit and in truth. Must. And to worship in truth is to worship according to God's word. It makes a difference. All kinds of stuff is done today in denominationalism and in religion in the name of worship. You got all kinds of sideshows and bands and entertainment and rituals and all kinds of things going on. And many people don't even stop and ask, is there book, chapter, and verse for this? It's just done and everybody's cool with it. We must worship in spirit and in truth. Does it matter what name we wear? Somebody says, well, it doesn't matter. Just pick some denominational name. So, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Mormon, Catholic, Lutheran, Jehovah's Witness, etc. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John preaching in Jerusalem. They're arrested. They come back. They preach the word of God. They're not going to be deterred by man's law. And they preach Acts 4:12, in none other is there salvation. That gets back to our previous point. Does it make a difference what Savior we choose? In none other is there salvation. Underscore that. We can't be saved in Hinduism and Buddhism and Islam and Judaism and Confucianism. We cannot be saved in those isms. We're saved by being a Christian. There is no other name, speaking of Jesus, there is no other name. There is no other salvation, and in none other is there salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved. Again, you have none other, and then you have the word must. It can't get any clearer, friends. But notice that name, the name of Christ. And so Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16 that if any man would glorify God, what name is it that we wear to glorify God? If we suffer as a Christian, and when we become a Christian, we will have to suffer for things. That's just the part of standing for truth. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. That's how you glorify God, just simply being a Christian, not a hyphenated Christian, not a Baptist Christian, Methodist Christian, Presbyterian Christian, Catholic Christian, Lutheran Christian, Jehovah's Witness Christian, Mormon Christian, not some hyphenated Christian, just Christian. That's the name we wear. And friends, we can actually leave behind denominational names and practices and creeds and doctrines and ideas and just be a simple New Testament Christian. That's what we are actually proclaiming in the community of Clarksville as the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, that we can be simple New Testament Christians without all of the religious names and confusion and things that honor men, but we simply honor Christ. We can give up those things and be a simple New Testament Christian. Does it make a difference how we serve God? Does it make a difference how we serve God? Yes, it does. We must serve Him in a certain way. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe, for God is a consuming fire. It has to be in reverence and awe. Respect and reverence for God, and take it seriously, not goof around. We don't pal around with God. God is not some cool dude up in heaven. And we take it very seriously because He is a consuming fire. And earlier in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, He will come with a fierceness of fire in judgment to those who are not right with Him. And so a lot of times people don't realize that aspect of God. You know, does it matter how we live? Does it matter how we live? Somebody says, well, you know, as long as you're sincere, it doesn't really matter. You know, you can drink some and fornicate some and gamble some and dance in a way that is lewd and lustful and that type of thing. And sometimes, you know, I go to church, but I find myself, you know, cussing at work. You know, that's not a big deal. Yes, it is. Paul writes about the works of the flesh. And he said, I forewarn you, even as I did, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He's talking to Christians that cannot engage in fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, wrath, faction, division, partying, envying, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. We can't do that and inherit the kingdom of God. Look at another statement with regard to this matter of the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, again speaking to Christians, or know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You just cannot do it. Underscore in your Bible, cannot. Cannot. These things are being dismissed today as no big deal. But Paul said, cannot or shall not. So it's very important how we live. Does it make a difference how we pray? Somebody might not be thinking about this. Well, I just pray. I don't really think about it. Well, there's a number of things that we have to be doing right when we pray, and we don't have time this morning on the lesson to go into all of that. Sometimes I call it prayer rules. We have to follow God's prayer rules in order for our prayers to be heard. But just briefly, in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 17, two people are praying, and one, his prayer was heard, and the other, his prayer was not. So it makes a difference how you pray. One man prayed with this self-righteous, proud attitude. The other man prayed with a humble, contrite heart attitude. And the man with the humble, contrite heart was justified, and the man that was praying with a proud attitude was not. It makes a difference how we pray. And we could go on, friends. What God we choose, what Savior we choose, what we need to do to be saved, what law we're under, what we preach, how we worship, what name we wear, how we serve God, how we live, how we pray. It makes a difference. Let's be choosing those things that are found in God's Word. Now, before we close this morning, I just want to hypothetically, just as an exercise, let's ask some people who used to live in Bible times if it makes a difference. Does it make a difference what you're doing? And they would say, yes, it makes a difference. And if they could speak to us today, they speak to us on the pages of Scripture. But if they could literally speak to us, they would say, it makes a difference. In Genesis chapter 4, if you were to ask Cain, does it make a difference how you worship God? He would say, absolutely. He would say, I brought the fruit of the ground to offer it unto the Lord, Genesis 4:3. But the Lord did not have respect unto my offering. He did not accept that. Yes, it makes a difference. I didn't do it by faith. My brother did, Hebrews 11:4. And the Lord was pleased with his sacrifice, but not unto mine. And not only that, not only does it make a difference, but that very thing started a process in my heart and mind where my countenance fell and I got overwhelmed with this whole matter, and my solution was to kill my brother, which he did. And John says that his works were evil. His works were evil. It makes a difference. If you were to ask the lost world of Noah, you know about Noah, the one who built the ark, and eight souls only were on that ark, and the rest of the world. If you were to ask the lost world of Noah in Genesis chapter 7, when the door of the ark was shut, and God shut them in, and the rain begins to fall, and the fountains of the deep are opened up, and the flood waters rain down, and the earth is covered with water, and every living thing upon the face of the earth was put to death, both man and cattle and creeping thing, they were all destroyed. If you were to ask them, does it make a difference whether or not you got on that ark or not? They would say, absolutely, it does make a difference. In Leviticus chapter 10, if you were to ask Nadab and Abihu, does it make a difference what kind of fire you offer up to the Lord as a priest? They would say, absolutely, we offered up strange fire that the Lord did not command us to, and he struck us dead. Yeah, it makes a difference. If you ask Saul in 1 Samuel 15, does it make a difference whether or not you completely obey the Lord or not? He told you to utterly destroy the Amalekites. You did some of that, but you left some of the animals, and you left Agag himself. You didn't utterly destroy them. Does it make a difference? He'd say, yes, because the Lord rebuked me for that, and my kingship was taken away as a result of it. Yeah, it makes a difference. I shouldn't have listened to the people. I listened to them and not to what the Lord said. It makes a difference. And if you were to ask Uzzah in 2 Samuel chapter 6, does it make a difference whether or not you touch the ark? If you touch it or don't touch it, does it make a difference? You'd say, oh yeah, it makes a difference. I touched it and the Lord struck me dead. The ark was to be carried on the shoulders of the priest, Numbers chapter 4, it was not, or the Levites, and it was not. And we had it on a cart, and we were wanting to take it back to Jerusalem. Everybody's all happy. And that the oxen stumbled, the cart moves, the ark begins to fall off of it, and I put my hand up there to stay it and keep it up there, and I was struck dead. It makes a difference whether or not we follow the word of God or not and properly carry that ark. You can come to the New Testament in Acts chapter 5, and if you had an opportunity to Ananias and Sapphira come back from the dead, and you ask them, does it make a difference whether or not you lie or not? Oh, it doesn't matter whether you lie or tell the truth. They would say, oh, it makes a difference. We lied to the Holy Spirit, and we were struck dead for that. Yep, it makes a difference. So friends, we've got to put out of our mind this lie of society, well, it doesn't make a difference as long as you're sincere. That's not the truth. When you ask the question, well, does it make any difference? It depends on who you ask. If you ask mankind today, they'll say, oh, no, it doesn't. But if you ask God in His Word and you ask all these individuals that we just listed, they would say, oh, it makes a difference. Let's stick with God and His Word. This statement, it doesn't make any difference, it's just simply a product of modern relativism and pluralism and postmodernism. That's all it is. Modern relativism, pluralism, and postmodernism, where all things go, everything's fine, we're cool with everything, it doesn't matter what you believe, let's all go along and get along, all roads lead to heaven, everybody's going to be right with God. Even the atheist who doesn't believe in God. It's all going to be okay in the end. Quit worrying about it. It's just a lie of the devil. In fact, it started in the Garden of Eden when the devil tempted Adam and Eve to eat that fruit. He's basically saying to them, it doesn't make a difference. Eat it, you'll be fine. In fact, you won't die. God said you would, but no, you're not going to die. And Adam and Eve found out. We could add them to the list of people to ask today. They would say, oh yeah, it makes a difference. We were cast out of the garden for that. These statements are offered as excuses to keep people from obeying the word of God. Don't let it be an excuse for you. But let's get up and obey the word of God. They're offered up to justify man's varied opinions and practices and beliefs. That's all it is. Excuses and justifications. When in fact we need to be obeying the Word of God. So let me close on this positive note, that we do what God says. You can do that. We can know the Word of God. We can read and know the Word of God, Ephesians 3, 4. We can know the truth, John 8, 32, and that truth can make us free. Let's be busy doing God's Word. Yes, be sincere. But let's be busy obeying the Word of God. And if I can help you to do that, please contact us. I would love to sit down with God's Word. It makes a difference, and let's be on that side of God and His Word. Thank you for joining us, and have a good day.